It's Wednesday. It's 1 o'clock. It's time for the Indie Media Radio London show, brought to you on Resonance FM 104.4, bringing protest stories direct from the streets, posted onto the indiemedia.org.uk newswire and to global indie media sites worldwide. We look forward to presenting your stories, so keep posting them to indiemedia.org.uk. Singers defy Parliament demonstration band. Carol Singers are about to become the latest group to defy a ban on unauthorised protests around Parliament. The group will test the limits of the new Serious Organised Crime and Police Act by singing in Parliament Square from 1800 hours Greenwich Mean Time this Wednesday, so that's today. The law makes demonstrating without police permission an arrestable offence near Parliament. Singers include the long-term anti-war protester Brian Hoare and Maya Evans, the first protester to be convicted under the Act. Ironically, Mr. Hoare is the one protester exempt from the ban due to a Home Office drafting error. We believe that the public has the right to gather in a public place and sing Christmas carols. The police may see things differently. Tim Ireland successfully argued in the High Court that Brian Hoare successfully argued in the High Court that as his 4-year vigil predated the law, he did not have to apply for authorisation to continue. Since the law came into force in August, several people have been arrested and other protesters have been warned off. Peace campaigner Ms. Evans was the first to be convicted under the Act after reading out the names of soldiers killed in Iraq at the Cenotaph. Mr. Hoare will lead the Lord's Prayer at the service on Wednesday, joined by others, including a former... We've got chaos in the studio at the moment. Including a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, and a 7th of July bombing survivor. A spokesperson for the carol singers, Tim Ireland, said, "In this instant, the police have not been notified. They've been invited, certainly, but they have not been notified. We believe that the public has the right to gather in a place and sing Christmas carols. The police may see things differently. We shall see." A Scotland Yard spokeswoman was not able to comment on whether the carol service constituted a demonstration and said a decision about whether to take action would be taken on the day. We're now going to have some music. I'm just going to let you know that today I'm engineering this show for the first time, so you may have to bear with me.
Thank you.
In the early hours of Tuesday morning, the Israeli authorities at Tel Aviv airport stopped a group of European international observers who were en route to a Christmas peace conference in Bethlehem. After lengthy interrogations, two of the people that were stopped were allowed to enter the country, and three were denied entry on security grounds. The three intend to challenge the decision in the Israeli courts. They now expect to spend Christmas in jail rather than in Bethlehem. The group are experienced peace campaigners who were on their way to the Celebrating Non-Violence conference to be held in the Palestinian town this week. All five have worked previously as international observers in the Palestinian territories. Spokesperson Charlotte Carson states, "Our colleagues are being stopped from attending a conference about non-violent activism because they are non-violent activists. Clearly Israel is afraid of the power of non-violence." The detained are all members of Access for Peace in the Middle East, a pressure group that intends to challenge the criminalisation of peace workers and the deliberate isolation of Palestinians from international observance and assistance. Robin Horsell, a UK-based South African who formerly campaigned against apartheid, gave his reasons for making this legal challenge. "Israel gives spurious grounds for deportation or refusal of entry, but the real reason is our support for human rights and justice. We hope this legal challenge sets a precedent that in the future will allow international citizens full access to Palestinian lands. This campaign is supported by many prominent peace campaigners, including Jews for Justice for Palestinians, Nonviolence International, George Monbiot, Angie Zelter, Jeremy Hardy and European Jews for a Just Peace." We are now going to play some statements of intent that the peace campaigners made before they left for Palestine. The piece is 25 minutes long, and it just is a piece about their commitment. We're having some technical difficulty. The CD's not playing out. We're going to try it in another player very quickly. Hello, sorry, we had some technical difficulties there. The CD didn't recognise the track. We're now going to the statements of intent for people from Palestine.
My name's Mary Dobbing. I live in London. I'm a complementary therapist and university lecturer. I've been interested in the Palestine-Israel conflict all my life. I'm a pacifist. I'm very much influenced by Quaker values.
I'm Robin Horsell. I'm 43. I'm a South African national. I'm currently living in the UK, and I have been since 1982. For the last few years, my life has been devoted to the two loves of my life. That's my daughter and Palestine.
So my name is Charlotte Carson. I'm an Irish citizen. I am one of a large number of people who have been deported from the Palestinian territories by the Israeli government.
I'm a victim from Italy. And when the people ask to me why Palestine, I must to jump to 10 years ago to my life. I was in a very bad condition. I was depressed, and I started to do something to change my life. I started to travel to make experience of voluntary work. Before, I was in east of Europe, and after also in Africa. And after Africa, I think to be ready to go to Palestine. And when I was the first time in Palestine, there was something really changed my life, because I see how just my presence, like international voluntary, can change the life in Palestine.
I've been associated with ISM for about the last 15 months. I travelled to the West Bank with ISM in September 2004 and was able to witness firsthand the extremity of the occupation. It turned out for me as an experience to be much more awful than I could ever have imagined, although I had studied and read and seen stuff on the media for 30 years since the war, and heard many first-hand accounts from people who'd been there.
Because we have chosen to travel to Palestine and to stand with Palestinians in solidarity with their non-violent struggle against this brutal occupation. I first witnessed what was happening in Palestine in 2002 in the summer. My background was as a student studying conflict, but I didn't know very much about Palestine, so I considered myself quite open-minded about it. And I went there, like many people, and was overwhelmed by what I was seeing. So I made the commitment to as best as I could, report and tell the story of the reality for Palestinians on the ground, and for that crime, according to the Israeli government, I was deported.
I think my interest in Palestine comes from the experience of apartheid South Africa, and of seeing a people being dispossessed, and of seeing very similar things happening to Palestinian friends in Palestine in the current climate.
I'm Italian, and with Palestinian people we are, I think, a strong connection. We are living together. We are Mediterranean people. We have the same sense of humor. We like the same thing. We like stay together, eat together, the food. And especially Italian people think they know better than other people what is mean occupation, because Italy was under Nazi and fascist occupation, and especially For me, for example, in my family, my grandmother was a partigiana fighting against the fascist occupation. So I'm very motivated, I'm very strong motivation to do this this action to try to go inside Palestine. I was a third time in Palestine. The last time I tried to pass the border, Israeli border, in Jordan, Israeli, and the Israeli security force, they stopped me, and I tried to resist the deportation, non-violent resistance, but at the end they take a big bus just for me, and 8 soldiers, they take me with and put me in this bus, and they beat me very, very hard. But this violence give me more motivation. I'm ready every day, every year of my life to take my money, to take my free time, to go every one time every year in the future to try to go inside, to try.
By being there myself and being able to live and work alongside Palestinians, I heard what it was like and I felt what it was like, and the daily experience of going through checkpoints, trying to lead your daily life and being obstructed by heavily armed military personnel in every possible daily activity. My association with ISM back in London has taught me that many volunteers can't get into Israel. You have to go through Israel in order to get to the occupied territories, and many people aren't allowed to do that. They're turned away at the border. Many activists have to lie in order to gain access to Israel and pretend to be tourists when really they have quite a legitimate reason to be travelling to the occupied territories in order to give peaceful and non-violent assistance to those who want to resist the occupation in that way. I think it's in all of our interests, and I think it's in the interests of Israel, it's in the interests of Palestine, it's in the interests of the world that people of goodwill and intelligence who wish to resolve conflict non-violently are able to do that. And I do passionately believe that in long-standing conflicts, internationals are very important to come and witness what's going on and be able to get help all parties to get some perspective.
I've been to Palestine twice, in 2002 and 2003, and a few years before that I spent time in Israel working on a kibbutz. The last time I was in Palestine in 2003, I spent my time in the city of Nablus, and I was there for quite a few months. I got to know people quite well. A lot of the work we were doing at that time was the monitoring of checkpoints, because Nablus was a city under siege. People were having incredible difficulties getting into the city and getting out of the city. The other thing we were dealing with was repeated military incursions into the city, where loads of homes would get searched. Quite often the contents of the houses would be destroyed, and resisting the presence of the soldiers, stone throwing going on, and the soldiers responding with by firing live rounds. I saw quite a few children who'd been shot, and you know, I've been very concerned about it. When I left Palestine, I left through Haifa port, and it became very clear that I had been securityed, because once they fed my name into the passport, I was taken off and interrogated at some length. I haven't been back to Palestine since then, although my heart has very much wanted to be there and to see the friends that I made. And this peace conference, which was in Bethlehem, seems to me to bring together a lot of threads. You know, it's around the time of Christmas, which is a very important time for Bethlehem. And it's also, you know, Bethlehem this year is surrounded by 30-foot high walls, and the city is overlooked by Israeli settlements which have encroached increasingly upon their land. The Bethlehem is not far from East Jerusalem, and we know that there's incredible dispossession going on in East Jerusalem as well. So, you know, there's a lot of issues that we're facing in Palestine at the moment, and this non-violence conference seems like a very timely thing, in that it's clear that the Palestinians need a new strategy, a new way of dealing with the increasing dispossession that's going on. It's becoming increasingly clear that they're not going to get that through voting for someone like Mahmoud Abbas, who came in as the peace partner for Israel, but has very quickly been rejected in that role.
Also, like a number of other people, I changed my name in order to get back into the country, because I was so committed to the work that needed to be done that I felt I was prepared to take any measure to get back into the country, to be able to help the Palestinians tell their story to the outside world. So I changed my name legally in this country by deed poll and went back out again. The Israeli government caught up with me and deported me on the grounds that I had entered the country illegally. So that plays really well into the story that the Israeli government would like to portray the ISM, International Solidarity Movement, activists, and activists who go to support non-violence in Palestine are people who commit criminal activity and people who are not working within the law. Now, what I would like to say about this is that just because something is legal, it is not right. And just because something is illegal, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. I think that there are certain moral decisions that people have to make in this world as international citizens, whether or not we're going to stand by and allow this to happen. With the support of our government, with our tax money, the European Union is supporting Israel in terms of its very strong trade relationship. So we are, by our silence, complicit in this occupation. And that is something that I and other non-violent activists refuse to be. We refuse to be complicit. So this is why we are taking part, or we have created this action to happen in December 2005, to attend a non-violence international conference. Because we want to be there, we want to discuss how to promote more effectively the story of Palestinian non-violent resistance. Because the world doesn't really see the non-violent resistance. It sees the violent resistance. But sadly, you know, the non-violent resistance the Palestinians are taking part in every day is not reported.
In this action, I want to go to the conference that's being held in Bethlehem. It's a conference called Celebrating Nonviolence. And there will be, I hope, Palestinian activists there, Israeli activists, and international activists. I would so like to be part of that, and I do think that being in Bethlehem is so significant just around Christmas. Bethlehem for me exemplifies all the very difficult aspects of the occupation, and I don't think a lot of people realise, and I don't think a lot of Christians realise, that Bethlehem is actually a thriving, busy, populous town in occupied territory. In order to travel to Bethlehem, you have to cross from Israel through checkpoints into the occupied territories. You have to do it at gunpoint. You have to justify your reason for going, and it's very difficult. In Bethlehem, they've seen ever-increasing settlements being built all around the town. They're increasingly cut off from East Jerusalem. Legitimate travel for Palestinians to their places of worship in Jerusalem are cut off for many of them. Tourism has just been annihilated, so therefore many of the legitimate trades for people in Bethlehem through tourism, hotels, souvenir sellers, guides, all of that sort of trade has been obstructed by the occupation. So while the rest of the Western world is singing O Little Town of Bethlehem and getting dewy-eyed about the Holy Land and the birthplace of Christ at Christmas, people living in Bethlehem are living under heavy military occupation. Their lives are obstructed. They can't do their trades. Their economic livelihood is deteriorating, and people are increasingly desperate. I really want to go to this conference in order to show my solidarity with Palestinians who are trying to lead normal, reasonable lives, make a living and just do what we all do. Go to school, go to university, get to our clinics.
When I was in Palestine, I was with the International Solidarity Movement, which is a movement that was started by Palestinians and Israelis who called for internationals to go out there and to support nonviolent direct action. My belief and strategy is very much that nonviolent direct action is the way forward. And, you know, I spent a long time with the International Solidarity Movement. I met a wonderful bunch of people, both Palestinians, Israelis, and internationals, who were deeply committed to peace, were deeply committed to direct action, and who shared a goal, which is to see the end of this occupation and to see the end of the humiliation and the degradation that Palestinians have forced upon them on a daily basis by this occupation. ISM has been the subject of a lot of disinformation. There have been repeated attempts to paint a picture of it as a violent organization or an organization with links to violence. And, you know, I just have to say that there is nothing there. There is nothing in those stories. They've never managed to find one person to charge with involvement in violence because it doesn't happen. The violence that I saw while I was in Palestine was consistently committed by the Israeli forces on the ground. And it's horrifying, it's terrifying. And one of the things I think we lose sight of with all this talk of it being a war zone, with all the talk of violent resistance, is that it is also home to an incredible number of young children who have no choice but to be there and to be subject to whatever is visited upon them by the occupying forces.
Israel say to the world, I am the only one democracy in the Middle East, but I don't know what kind of democracy is once one country don't let pass in his border people free. Like me, I'm a free man, and usually freedom it means I can go to visit my friend, I can go where I want, but I think it's not really a good demonstration of democracy. Stop the people like me working for the peace and this.
So in going to the conference, I want to show my solidarity to Palestinians who are living under this very excessive, repressive occupation by the Israeli army. Palestinian people just want to have jobs, earn a living, bring up their children, get the children to school, get their young people to university, be able to travel around the territory, be able to travel abroad, be able to have holidays, be able to go to Jerusalem. And all this is being obstructed by the occupation. And I feel that this conference will be a platform in which to show these difficulties.
The purpose of this action is to highlight the fact that Israel is trying to isolate Palestinians from international support in its struggle against the occupation. And we know for a fact that hundreds and hundreds of civilian non-violent activists have been refused entry to Israel. And we have to go through Israel to get to Palestine because the Israelis control the Palestinian borders. So we're in a dilemma as to we can't actually access Palestinians and support them in their struggle, to support them in their non-violent struggle, except by going through Israel. And to go through Israel, we have to either lie and tell them that we're tourists, because if we tell them the truth, that we are there to support non-violent struggle in Palestinian territories, they will refuse us entry. So up until now, activists have had to lie continually in order to get into Israel. So we've decided we don't want to lie anymore. We've decided that actually we shouldn't have to lie. Israel calls itself a democracy, and if it is a democratic country, then it should not be turning back people who are free of any criminal records, who are completely committed to non-violent activity, who are not posing any threat to their country. They're in fact trying to create a solution to the crisis that is beleaguering the people of Israel as well as the people of Palestine. So we're trying to open an avenue whereby international civilians will be able to go to Palestine openly, honestly, and will not be blocked by the Israeli authorities.
ISM people have been deported, and a number of ISM people have been placed on a blacklist, which means that it's impossible for them to get back in. One of the strategies that some of the people, especially those with UK nationality, have used is to change their name, which is quite legal and above board, and to go back using a passport in the new name. It's obviously quite something to make a decision to legally change your name, and I think that shows the kind of heartfelt commitment that people have. Another strategy that's used, and which has been included quite often in the training of people going out there, is to make use of the fact that Israel needs to attract tourism, that a large part of its economy is dependent on tourism. So people will go in and will claim that they are tourists or that they're Christians going to see holy sites. Of course, there's also people who are Jewish. A lot of ISM volunteers are Jewish, about a quarter in total, I'm led to believe. And so people have gone in and have denied that they have a political purpose, have denied that they have any links with any organization such as ISM, and they've used that as a strategy of getting in. On this trip, we really feel that the time has come when we challenge that. Israel claims to be the Middle East's only democracy, and a democracy allows activism, allows people the right to express themselves, the right to challenge things that they see are wrong, the right to freedom of expression, freedom of association, and freedom of assembly. And we feel, that if Israel is going to insist that it's the only democracy in the Middle East, that it is time now for it to start showing that democracy in action and to start supporting civil rights. As an international, I'm not a free man if I'm deprived of the right to go to certain countries. A free person is able to travel where they want to go and to associate with whom they want to associate.
I've learned to understand through studying this conflict that in order for there to be peace, the Palestinians must be able to have a just peace. They must be able to have a viable territory for Palestinians where there can be normal trade, normal economic activity, and freedom of travel in and out of the territory and international trade as well. The level of injustice and ill treatment of the Palestinians has got to stop. The occupation has got to stop. And with justice, there will be peace.
تسلم لو تسلم هالإيد يسلم هالشعب الجابك زيد عيار الهمة زيد وحمي أرضك وترابك
تسلم لو تسلم هالإيد يسلم هالشعب الجابك زيد عيار الهمة زيد واحمي أرضك وترابك
إن وصفتك ما وفيت حقك يلي صنت البيت
إن وصفتك ما وفيت حقك يلي صنت البيت
غيرك نايم وانت صحيت
يابا غيرك نايم وانت صحيت
الله يحفظ شبابك
تسلم لي وتسلم هالإيد يسلم هالشعب الجابك زيد عيار الهمة زيد واحمي أرضك وترابك
يابا لما وطب وجه الريح راسك عالي ظلوا يصيح
لما وطب وجه الريح راسك عالي ظلوا يصيح
نبرة عز وتفاريح وطرت تسابق أصحابه.
تسلم لي وتسلم هالإي يسلم هالشعب الجابك، زيد عيار الهم زيد واحمي أرضك وترابك.
لما طلعت الحق تجيب من فك ومخلب هالذيب،
لما طلعت الحق تجيب من فك ومخلب هالذيب.
قلبي رفرف يا حبيب،
يابا قلبي رفرف يا حبيب،
وتباهى في أعصابك.
تسلم لي وتسلم هالإيد يسلم هالشعب الجابك، زيد عيار الهم زيد واحمي أرضك وترابك.
يابا شفت الباغي بأرضك جار، ثرت بوجهه وزدت صرار.
شفت الباغي بأرضك جار، ثرت بوجهه وزدت صرار.
حسبها جولة وتنهار وحسابه غير حسابك.
تسلم لي وتسلم هالإيد ويسلم هالشعب الجابك، زيد عيار الهم زيد واحمي أرضك وترابك. شد حزام باقي بعمر الظلم ايام،
عند الموت نظل زلام،
يابا عند الموت نظل زلام.
ايد وايدك تتشابك،
تسلم لي وتسلم هالايد يسلم هالشعب الجابك، زيد عيار الهم زيد واحمي ارضك وترابك،
واحمي ارضك وترابك.
Hello and welcome back. Now we're about to speak to Mary Dobbin, who was one of the people that went out with some of the protesters that were detained at the airport in Tel Aviv on Tuesday morning. Hello, Mary. Are you there?
Yes, hello, Penny.
Hello. I just wondered, could you give us a brief overview about what happened?
Right. Well, I imagine you have explained what the action was about.
Yes.
Already. With Robin, with one of the other activists, and we were behind Michael from Hebden Bridge, who'd already arrived a couple of hours before us, and then Sharon and Victoria were due to arrive 2 or 3 hours after us. So there were five of us arriving at intervals on different flights. When Robin and I arrived, we went to passport check as usual, and as I went up to the little booth where the policewoman was, she looked at my passport. What's the purpose of your visit? Oh, I'm coming to a conference celebrating non-violence in Bethlehem. Where are you going to visit? I said, oh, well, I'll be in Jerusalem and I'll be travelling to Bethlehem and probably other parts of the West Bank. So immediately some security appeared and they didn't even look at Robin's papers, and we were ushered away to the police corner, as I learned to call it. And there we found Michael sitting there. And that started for most of us about a 9-hour wait in this corner with various activities going on, like Robin and I were very thoroughly searched. All our bags were taken to pieces, all our possessions. I had a full body search. I had to take clothes off, all sorts of things. So all rather kind of troubling. And inexplicably, I was then given my passport and a visa. So, I'm in. But Robin wasn't. Michael emerged after 3 hours of interrogation, looking quite shaken, I thought, and white. But he got his passport. He was admitted. But Robin still wasn't. So as I was with Robin, I stayed with him and didn't leave the airport. And I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, stay with him until he's let out. Meanwhile, Sharon and Victoria arrived on their flight. And they were immediately brought over to police corner where Robin and I were sitting. Oh, no, Robin was being interrogated by that time. And so I greeted Sharon and Victoria with big hugs and big smiles, and security were quite confused about this. And then the game was up, really, because they realised we all knew each other, and we explained what we were doing, and saying that, you know, we were peace activists, we were connected with ISM, and we had all been before, and we were there to give solidarity to Palestinians who are trying to resist the occupation non-violently. So that's a kind of, not a very brief rundown, but kind of what happened.
And what happened when they interrogated you? What kind of things were they asking you?
Well, I was the only one who wasn't interrogated. And so it's part of the kind of madness of this whole experience, is that it's very hard to anticipate how each individual is going to be treated. By the time they realised that I was part of this action, which was really when Sharon and Vittorio arrived, I had already been sitting there for 5 hours with my visa. I could have left at any time. So they were quite pissed off, really, that they realised they'd given me a visa and I was part of this enemy group, as they see it. And I said, well, you can't, you know, because they said, well, will you leave the airport? And I said, not really, I'm not leaving Robin until you've processed him, until he's got his entry visa. So I said, you know, if you need me to leave the country, you're going to have to go through deportation procedures because I have my visa now.
And how did they treat Robin?
He was questioned for about an hour and a half, and I managed to talk to everybody really after their interrogations, and the mood of the interrogation seemed to be that, you know, polite and sort of creepy is how they described it, because there is a sort of a smiling creepiness about this kind of security interrogation, where really they want lots and lots of names, addresses, emails, telephone numbers. Who do you visit? Who have you been in touch with? You know, do you know any Palestinians? And all this sort of thing. To which Robin has the reply, I really can't tell. anyway, it seemed funny at the time. That he says, I don't know if I've met any Palestinians.
Okay.
So there's a lot of kind of them asking questions that they know very well you're not going to answer. And interestingly, Robin reported that... and I think the others had this same angle as well, is this kind of, why do you people all come and pick on Israel? You know, there are so many conflicts going on in the world. Why don't you go to Iran, was one of the comments, you know, where, you know, they want to annihilate Israel and all this sort of thing. So very kind of victim-y, why pick on poor old us, thing in the interview.
Did Robin resist arrest at all? Did he non-violently resist being arrested? I mean, he's going to be deported.
Okay, I'll explain a bit more about that. So at the point at which they came and announced that they were going to be removed, it's not like an arrest. So we're already in the airport, and these three who were refused entry were already sitting, you know, that side of the passport control. So the legal process is that they announce that you're not going to be admitted, we're going to send you back to UK, so then I was saying, well, what are you going to do with them now? What's going to happen? And they said, well, you will be held in detention at the airport, and we've got all your return flights arranged, and that was going to be this morning, Wednesday morning early. So they were very obsessed about which airline are you with and all this sort of thing. So it wasn't a question of being hauled off anywhere. There was no sense of a resistance in that sense, except that we did say to them, we have absolutely no intention of getting on the planes. We will be telling the airline staff that we are being removed against our will, and you as the carrier, in this case Alitalia or Czech Airlines, they were not going to sit down on the seats if they got on the plane, and they would be shouting and explaining to all the other passengers that they were there against their will, that they wouldn't fasten their seatbelts, they wouldn't comply with any safety regulations, in the hope that the airline would therefore refuse to have them on board. So this is a tried and tested tactic, I believe, to make sure that you can't be forcibly removed. So at this stage, when I left them, they were just being taken to detention cells, I guess, for the night, awaiting this removal. So the news today is that, obviously we've put lawyers in touch with them.
Because they're going to appeal the deportation or the removal.
Yes, I mean, it's kind of appealing against, I think formally it's appealing against being refused admittance to the country, so you can't actually be deported until you've been admitted. So they're not kind of this side of the procedure yet. So they've succeeded in staying there, being removed this morning. So they're still here. They're still in detention. I don't know where at this moment, whether they're still at the airport or whether they've been removed to a prison. I'm just trying to get hold of the lawyer while we're talking, just before you got on the phone, because I need to know what happened at court this morning. I went to the lawyer's office this morning and I saw all these statements that she's got from the three of them, from Robin, Sharon and Vittorio, their affidavits, and they've gone before a judge this morning. And we're waiting to hear what the outcome of that is. She's going on the grounds that they are attending a conference celebrating non-violence with lots of overseas visitors, lots of internationals coming from all over the place who support this cause, and that they have every legitimate reason to be admitted. Without rambling, though, I mean, I think if I go back to Michael's case, who got in first and had 3 hours of questioning, so he was the first one to arrive and they processed him pretty thoroughly, although they did then let him in. They knew he'd been working in the occupied territories with ISM. He did tell them that. We had a policy in this action to be absolutely honest about what the purpose of our visit was. This was really central to this action because, as you're aware, on the whole, activists have to lie about their purpose of visit to get through passport control. So Michael had been completely transparent with them about the purpose of his visit. And they'd said to him, well, we will let you in, but on one condition, or two conditions, is that you absolutely promise not to break an Israeli law, and secondly, that you will not involve yourself in any violent or aggressive action. And, you know, here we are at a conference celebrating non-violence.
Mary, could I ask you to speak up a little bit, please?
Yes, hello, is that better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Sorry about that. It's like my voice gets a bit low.
Okay.
Okay. So did you get that? So
I mean, yeah.
So the sort of he was very happy to agree to their conditions that he wouldn't break a law and he wouldn't be violent, because that's basically what we're here for. It's not to be violent.
Are you still there, Mary?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah.
So the next stage is they're going to appeal the fact that they're being refused admittance, and
yeah, so,
that's
yeah.
tomorrow.
No, that's already happened. I'm still waiting to hear the outcome of that. That's happened this morning.
And if they're refused admittance to Israel, they're looking like they're going to spend Christmas in prison.
Absolutely. There'll be Christmas in prison, and further legal, very expensive legal procedures to go through. Which obviously for a sort of small organisation as ISM is in terms of money is trying. And so if anyone wants to contribute anything financially, I can give you the website, which will give you all the details where to help us with these legal costs if it goes that far.
Okay, can you give us the website address now?
Yes, it's www.ism-london.org.
Okay, thank you for that. And have you visited Bethlehem yet?
No, because of all this obstruction at the airport, I'm still in Jerusalem and still really here with Michael, being on, you know, on demand to spring out. Like, well, this morning we got up and had to spring down to Tel Aviv to see the solicitor. And so that's taken all morning, and we got back just before you rang me before. So we're kind of, unfortunately, and it's quite frustrating because of all this hassle, and, you know, we can't get on with the stuff that we'd really like to do, which is get over into the West Bank, visit the people we know there, and join in as an international presence with the ever-present problems that are going on. And when you're here, you just right in the thick of it all. I visited the organisation and an office here in Jerusalem and met some of the activists there and said, I'm here, I've got 3 days to spare, where can you use me? And there was so much to do, and I could be there doing it if I wasn't having to help support my colleagues who are still trying to get in. Not that I mind doing that, but it is a distraction, because all of us would like to be over in the, you know, and the ones who are in detention, we'd all like to be getting on and doing what we're here for, which is non-violent resistance.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
I just wish everyone luck and
thank you.
Take care.
And thank you for your interest in it.
Have a good Christmas. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, earlier. I was
So today has been a bit of a theme. It's been Bethlehem, it's been Jerusalem, but then it is the Winterval, which for some people is Christmas. European organisations today defied the refusal of EU ministers to publish a report compiled by their own diplomats regarding Israeli violations of international law with regard to East Jerusalem. Over 30 Jewish, Palestinian peace and anti-poverty groups from around Europe will publish the suppressed report on their websites. The report, which states that Israel's activities in Jerusalem are in violation of both its roadmap obligations and international law, was shelved by EU foreign ministers at their 12th of December foreign affairs meeting in Brussels for fear of alienating Israel and reducing EU's influence. Yet protesting groups point out, only one day after the report's suppression, Israel announced the building of 300 new homes in the Melau Adumin settlement, the largest in the occupied territories, in violation of the roadmap and international law. Pierre Galland, senator in the Belgian Parliament and chair of the European Coordinating Committee on Palestine, said European diplomats had the courage to stress the alarming situation in East Jerusalem in order to force the EU member states to respect their own commitment to international law and human rights. We will publish the report on East Jerusalem on our websites, despite the EU's refusal to do so. Dan Judelson, Secretary of the European Jews for a Just Peace, said the EU are burying their heads in the sand and are thus co-responsible, while East Jerusalem residents face repeated violations of international law, of simple standards of humanity, all at the hands of the Israeli state. If the EU sits on this report, we will see it as our duty to make it widely available as we can. Nick Dearden, Senior Campaigns Officer at War on Wants, said the desperation of Palestinians across the West Bank now threatens those who live in East Jerusalem, as Israel inflames and intensifies its occupation by suppressing the truth, which their own diplomats have made clear to them. European governments have sent a clear message to Israel that its aggression will be met only with silence. And so that's about it for today, except to say that tonight there are various protests where people are using carol singing. I mentioned earlier the protest outside Parliament, which isn't a protest. It is carol singing. It's to see if the police will arrest people. And it's all really to say goodbye and have a wonderful Yule celebration.
عن الصبح مثل الغزال متخفي بكوفي
يا يما ليش مستعجل يا ولادي
خوفي المحتل يحصدكم حصيدي
رد المحبوب لتعيدي
صرت كبير وحجاري